I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me into the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And in just a moment, I'll begin reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. As I think about that song in Christ, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for His message of salvation, aren't you? As we have our Bibles open to look at what He wants to accomplish in our life, often I think about God's intent. What does God intend? What is it the Lord has in mind? We have our plans, and many times we rule and God overrules. But God has intents also. I think about the precious people who make up the family of God in this local assembly. A local assembly of baptized believers who voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. And during these days, they're not gathered together in a physical sense here in one building, but they're here. They're here in prayer, and I see their faces. I truly see their faces. I know who sits where, and I look for them and thank God for them. I see them listening. I know they're praying and believing God. As God speaks to my heart and speaks through me, I trust to them. And I thank God for that. Then I think about those who've been with us and now in glory. We have, because God has blessed us with a long and fruitful ministry here, and we give Him the glory for it. We have about 500 of our folks already on the other side who are members of this church. I have all their names, and I'm thinking of them often, and they're pulling for us, cheering us on. We've got a lot left to do, and may God help us to get it all done for His glory. If you have your Bible before you, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, not by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression, if you would, please. You'll find it in the third verse of Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Bible says, not only did God humble us, that He suffered thee to hunger. Would you please mark those words? He suffered thee to hunger. God touched something that affected every life. Every life. The Lord knows how to do that. He knows how to get our attention, doesn't He? He knows how to cause us to lift our eyes heavenward. And the Bible says that God rehearses this story through Moses to His people in the book of Deuteronomy and says that He touched them in such a way that He created thee and suffered thee to hunger. He allowed thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. In other words, this is something new that God did. The manna came from heaven. It was gathered early. It was gathered each day except on the Sabbath day, because on 6 days God gave it, and on the sixth day He gave enough for 2 days so they wouldn't have to gather it on the Lord's day. It was a picture of Christ and all that God does for us. The story is in the 16th chapter of the book. And as God rehearses these things for us, there's some lessons that we're to learn. Again, I remind you, he says he suffered them to hunger. He put them in the school of hunger. He made them hunger. He allowed them to hunger so he could feed them. I want you to go with me just for a moment to the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you have your Bible open there. And I'll read just a few of the verses in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The Bible says, begin with verse 1, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, and in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Lebanon and Hazeroth and Dizahah. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea." That's shocking. They spent 40 days journeying, and God says it was an 11-day journey. And the Bible goes on to say, "And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them." Now they were living under God's law. The law as a system no longer exists as a system, but as a standard it remains. And may I remind you that all convictions, all things God desires for us to do, have edges on them. My friend, Dr. John Phillips, who's now in glory, said that the first generation always has convictions. The second generation only has beliefs. They sometimes reference the convictions that the first generation has. But the third generation has opinions. Think about it. Just opinions. And God is talking about commandments here. He has desires for his people. Look again while we're in this passage in chapter 1 and verse 30. "The Lord your God, which goeth before you." Think about it. He goeth before you. In verse 32, "Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." It's God's intention. If you'll turn with me, please, to chapter 7, I want you just to read, put your eyes on verse 14. "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle." God says, "I want to bless you among all people on the earth." You ever stop and think about what God's intention for you is? How the Lord wants the best things for you? How God has chosen those best things for you. And when we come to the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, God says, "I put you in school so that in my school you could learn certain lessons." We're all in school. For them, it was the school of hunger. God allowed them to get hungry. And then he answered them from heaven and gave them manna. As I said, which is a type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And he taught them that man should not live by bread only. That's given to us here as God rehearses this event for us in the 8th chapter. But I want you to look at the school you and I are in. We're in school right now. God's teaching us. Are you learning anything? Now remember, when you hold your place here in the book of Deuteronomy, the 40 years are over. What should have been 11 days turned into 40 years, and it's over. Wouldn't it be terrible to have gone through all 40 years and not learned the lessons? People are frightened and troubled. I have in my pocket something I want to read to you that came to me just a few days ago. It's a survey taken in 2018. I know that we're ahead of that now, but these are the latest statistics available. In the year 2018, in America, according to the suicide prevention people, 10,600,000 people seriously thought about taking their lives. 10,600,000. 3,200,000 made a plan to follow through with it. 1,400,000 people attempted suicide. And in the greatest land on earth, in our beloved America, over 48,000, nearly 50,000 people succeeded in taking their own lives. We're told by people observing our situation now that people are going to get so depressed and so troubled about life that they're going to go through a portion of life to the point where they get to the place where they're thinking about taking their own life. Wouldn't it be horrible to go through an ordeal like we're going through and not learn the lessons God wants us to learn? Wouldn't that be horrible? Well, God said to His people, you went through 40 years of wilderness wandering, and now you're about to cross over into Canaan. And as you cross over into Canaan, Canaan is the beginning of the life God intended for them. It wasn't in the wilderness. The life was across the Jordan into the Canaan. It's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the abundant life that God gives us. And as God gives us that abundant life, He wants all of us to have it who know Him. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive your sin? And by faith, come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you? Are you sure about that? Are you a certain Christian living on certainties according to God's Word and His promise for salvation? I hope so. If not this very moment, you can bow your head and ask God to forgive your sin and by faith trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But if you're one of God's children, you're in school. Every church has a school, not necessarily a Christian day school, but they're schools, they're teaching in their church. Many of us have schools, legitimate schools. Ours now going nearly for half a century. At our academy, we have a college and graduate school. We have schools that are extension schools. We have a school in Kathmandu, Nepal. We have a school in England. We have extensions of our school in 70 locations all across America. And there are lessons taught and things to be learned. But every child of God is in school. God said He put these people in the school of hunger. And He makes no question about what their lessons were. He says, I wanted you to learn something. Look at them, please. Lesson number one, verse 1, chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. The first lesson in God's school was to observe. All the commandments observe to do that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. God's word says, I want you to learn this lesson. There's a life of obedience. And if you live that life of obedience, it'll be a life of blessing. That many people have given very little or no regard to God recently in their lives, very little or no regard. But the Bible says there's a way God gets our attention. He puts us in schools like the school of hunger He put these people in. And they're to learn, they're to observe. In the book of Joshua, if you'd like to turn there with me, the Word of God says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, there's the word again, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you want to be successful? Success is a byproduct of obedience. It's not the goal. It's a byproduct. Could it be that God allows things like what we're going through now to come to our lives, to come into our thinking processes, for us to have to go through and give thought to bring us to the place where we observe to do what God has for us to do, to be obedient to His Word? Lesson number one, to observe. Lesson number two in this school of hunger. The Word of God says, if you'll notice, please, in verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God did lead thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Lesson number two is to remember. Think about that. God's equipped us to be able to remember. One of my spiritual fathers, Dr. Lee Robertson, said to me when he was 95 years old, Clarence, I'm living on my memories. He went on to explain that to me, that he was thinking about the things that God had done in his life. And I said, well, how does it make you feel? What does it bring to your mind? He said, I think about how good God has been to me, how many blessings I have. And I want to tell you, friend, God wants us to use our memories. And he says, the second lesson in the school that I bring you into, this school of hunger, is a lesson on remembering. Remember God's deliverance. Remember His salvation. Remember what God did for you and what He's doing for you now. Think of the Lord. Remember Him. Remember God. You can go through life high, haughty, halt and proud, and think nothing of God. But He said to His people about to cross into the promised land He was to give them, I want you to remember. And he recounted the story of how he opened heaven and sent manna and world. And he said he was in an audience with a man, and a man walked up to them and said, I want to give you, and he was talking to a friend sitting beside him, $100,000 for your missionary ministry. And the man recounted to me the story and said, when I saw him go to my friend next to me, I thought in my heart, I know his ministry. I know they didn't have near the demands I have. He said, I was saying all this to God. I should be getting that and not him. But the giver gave the check of $100,000 to my friend for a ministry that was only a fraction the size of what I'm trying to accomplish in the same country. And he said, after it was all over, I went to a room alone. And he said, quite frankly, I was so disturbed, I just started praying. And God said to me, Jacob, have I ever failed you? And I said, what did you say? He said, when God pressed upon my heart the question, Jacob, have I ever failed you? I had to say, frankly, no, Lord, never. And I think when you and I are called on to remember, when we review our lives and the goodness of God, all that God has done for us and all the promises He has for us, even for the future, we all know that God has never failed us. The second lesson in the school God created for His people was a lesson on remembrance. The third lesson, let's read on. The Bible says in verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Amazing, isn't it, that these people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. God took care of them. And then he says to them in verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. The third lesson in God's school as he suffered them to hunger was on considering. Put it together. And in particular, the matter of chastening. The Lord explains this. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains of depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. Consider this, but consider the matter of chastening. Hold your place here just a moment, would you? And let's turn to a classic passage in the Bible on this subject of chastening in the New Testament. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, "For consider him," that's Christ, verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, "consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your minds." You see, it's possible to grow weary in your mind and faint. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And in verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. "For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." God said, if you're one of his children, you're going to go through this discipline, this child rearing. No question about it. God calls it chastening. And in this school of hunger, the Lord says, when you think about what you've been through and how God has corrected you and brought you back into line, how you've judged yourself and said, there's certain things I need to get back to God with, consider those things, because that was God's intent when he put you in school. And you and I are having to get our priorities back in line. You and I are having to think about what matters and what matters most among what matters. You and I are having to lay aside some things that have distracted us. In this school that God has us in, there's time for consideration, especially with the matter of chastening, and to see God's hand of discipline in it. That the Lord wants the best for us. I always tell our people, and I try to remember this myself always, God is not against us. God is for us. He's for me, and he's for you. He's pulling for me. He's enabling me. He's working with me and in me, and I give him glory for that. I can't imagine that what I'm having to go through as a pastor is anything near what some very sick people at this time are going through, but there are some difficulties. And if we're not careful, we begin to murmur. We can't do some of the things we feel we need to do in ministry. We have sick people. We have folks who visit every hospital every day. That's all called off. We have many shut-in people we try to minister to. In every senior residence center in this county, we have a ministry, and we can't get to them. The doors are shut now for fear of being contagious. I understand all that. And many times when we talk about sacrifices, they're not sacrifices at all. They're just inconveniences. But occasionally, when we're inconvenienced, we're learning lessons. And we understand what we should be doing when we have full reign again. And God is speaking and dealing with us. I'm saying you don't just get a straight line from here to glory. You go through many trials and difficulties. And God wants us to be better and more like Christ because of it. His people, they cried out with hunger. And he opened heaven and fed them with heavenly manna. But he let them get hungry so he could feed them. And God is allowing some things to happen in our lives right now. And he will be the answer to those things. He will be the need provider, the giver. There may be some other channel God uses that we've never even thought about. And I'm praying for our academy and our teachers. I'm praying for our college and our instructors and professors. I'm praying for our students that we don't lose a one of them. Is that too much to ask that our God is so great we wouldn't lose one of them? Not one of them? And I'm encouraging them not to follow the Lord afar off, but let God teach you and consider now all that God has done for you and how he's brought you this far and put you in this place. Don't lose anything in the ground you've gained for God. And in this school God has, he says he wants us to learn the lesson of considering and receive the chastening, which is evidence that we belong to God, that we're his children. But there's another lesson. Chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says in this school of hunger, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. How does that happen? Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. God said we must learn the lesson to beware, that it's more dangerous to prosper than it is to do without. Because that prosperity and those blessings can bring us to the place where we think we can live without God and without his blessings. The Lord said, beware. Are we being aware? Are we? If you live long enough, you're going to hear a lot of people say to you that they learned their greatest lessons in their greatest hardships. If you live long enough, you're going to hear a lot of people say that the most difficult things with which they dealt were the doors that opened the greatest opportunities to them in their lives. Someone has well said that the door of opportunity always swings on the hinges of opposition. Well, I want you to know God is doing the preparation work. And there will be great doors opened. And when it opens, his children need to be ready to receive the blessings God has. Sometimes we get the idea that God is late. But God isn't late. Sometimes we're just early. And the Lord is allowing the time to take place in our lives to provide for us the preparation so we're ready to receive all that God desires for us. God had Canaan land for these people. They could have gotten there in 11 days had not they been cowardly and not courageous, cowardly at Kadesh Barnea and had 10 spies come back with an evil report. Only Joshua and Caleb lived through the wilderness wanderings. This group that now Moses is speaking to is much younger in median age than it ever was before, because the old people, 20 years old and older, are dead now. They died in the wilderness. And now a new generation is about to cross Jordan and go in and have the blessings of Canaan land, the fulfilling of God's promises to them. But they have to consider something. They have to consider that all the blessings have to be guarded against, and beware that when they're blessed, they won't forget God. I'm going to be very frank with you for a moment. God has blessed the Temple Baptist Church. God has blessed Clarence Sexton. It's not a small thing to say that we have graduates now in every state in the United States and on every continent serving God. God has blessed us. There's no doubt about it. We cannot get to the place where we discount any of God's blessing or fail to remember and consider and observe what got us where we are. The same things, prayer and fasting, believing God, seeking God, given to obeying the Lord, unashamed of Jesus Christ, holding solidly to an irreducible body of truth, no compromise and disobedience in it, having strong convictions but bathing it in compassion. Listen, God is still on the throne. We're still moving forward, and we thank the Lord for it. The buildings may be empty now, but they're not really empty. They're filled with people in other places praying and believing God. People right now on their knees who are part of this church, this wonderful church. And in glory, a crowd waiting for us to see them who have served God faithfully with us through years of blessing. And I don't want to be ashamed when I see them and when I see Jesus at the end of this. I want to be faithful to Him. God has us in school. He's assigned to us certain lessons. We must observe to do His will. We must remember His goodness. We must consider His chastening. And we must beware that when He's blessed, we don't forget Him in any way. Not any way. My little mother weighed about 100 pounds. She was 5 feet tall. She was born in 1928. She went to be with the Lord when she was 71 years old. Her name was Ruby. I am the oldest of four children she raised for the most part on her own. I remember the day we went into Robert Davis's office at Everett High School, and my mother was by my side. I was a freshman in high school, and he said, "Mrs. Sexton, do you have the responsibility of raising these children by yourself?" What a kind way to ask. What a kind way. She and my father had been divorced. He later died. But she answered to him, "Yes, I do have that responsibility." And he said, with all kindness and graciousness, "Well, I'm going to help you." And brother, did he help her. And I'm so thankful for Mr. Robert Davis. And my mother lived her life, battled cancer. And finally, I was with her when she came near the end. I was sitting on the side of her bed, and for 2 days she had not opened her eyes. I said to her, "Mother, God's been good to us." And she said, "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful." And then she said, and I'm thinking about this text, "We were never one day without anything to eat. God provided food for us all these years." That was what meant something to her. She had rickets as a child. She came through a depression era. She knew what it meant to have food on the table for her children. It meant everything to her, even in her dying moments, to be able to give God glory that He'd taken care of us. She knew how touching, how quick to the mind and heart need for food could be. She'd been hungry as a child, but her children never went hungry, never. And I want to tell you, she didn't start out so great, but she finished with boldness in the Lord. And I think greatness in her attitude toward God and His grace to her. She was strong in the inner man when she opened those big, beautiful brown eyes one last time and smiled at me and my brother and sisters and bid us goodbye. And now listen, you may think many things are the object of living, but God brings it down to these simple considerations. Observe His word and obey it. Remember His goodness. Consider His chastening and child rearing. And always beware that when God has been so good to us, don't ever forget Him. Don't ever forget Him. We're coming through this trial. It won't be long, maybe longer than you might think now, but we're coming through it because the Lord is with us all the way through it, and He'll give us the victory. Let's bow in prayer together, may we? Some of you may not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you do not know Him, you need to ask Him right now to forgive your sin and by faith come to know Him as your Savior. We're going to sing in just a moment, "I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior." Oh, there are 10,000 charms. We serve a good God. Someone may ask, like a man was asking my presence, "What about God's goodness?" He said, "Oh, God's been good to me lately." Then he caught himself. Not just lately, but always God has been good to me. And friends, He's always good. And the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, bow your head and ask Him right now to forgive your sin and trust Him as your personal Savior.